Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The world, because of fear, says you could die. God, because of sin, says you shall surely die. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. God says it this way through the prophet Isaiah: all flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, dries up, and the flower fades. It falls away, it falls down, when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. The breath of the Lord blows, and life withers, dries up, falls away. The Lord is in control of life and death. He gives and he takes away. The prophet Isaiah is echoing Moses in the 90th Psalm. Moses wrote, "You return man to dust. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger, by your wrath. We are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom." King Hezekiah, the faithful king of Judah at the time of the prophet Isaiah, had been told that his days were numbered. He had just witnessed a great miracle. The Lord's angel of death annihilated 185,000 Assyrians in one night, saving Jerusalem and Judea from certain defeat. Hezekiah, no doubt, thought that he had been spared. However, the Lord immediately inflicted Hezekiah with a deadly illness. Hezekiah earnestly prayed to the Lord that he would be spared, and the Lord answered his prayer and spared him. "Hezekiah, you have 15 more years to live." However, God then told him through Isaiah that Israel and Judah were to be indeed taken into exile. Despite the temporary reprieve, the open iniquities and secret sins against the Lord over the centuries by God's chosen nation were to be brought to an account. This was God's holy will. Hezekiah is told of God's judgment, and yet he still says, "There will be peace and security in my days, in my 15 years." It seemed he was in denial. The works of God were good for a time, yet the death, uncertainty, and hard times which loom ahead, they don't seem believable to him. It's at this point we hear our Old Testament text today from the prophet. Even as God brings discipline upon his people, even as the faithful king doubts and denies what he faces, God still brings good news. He doesn't totally give up on Israel. He doesn't give up on you either. "Comfort, comfort my people," says your God. "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Her warfare is over. Pardon and forgiveness is coming. There is a word of hope for the future. God himself is on the move. God is at work for his people, coming down the royal highway through Bethlehem to Jerusalem's cross to make good all things for those who love and trust him. All flesh will see that God's glory will shine forth, even out of the darkness and death of this temporal, transitory world. God's word of promise and hope that he will save his people from sin and death, that word is the word that stands forever. Years later, another prophet faced death and was rotting away in evil King Herod's prison out in the Judean desert. John's disciples must have been perplexed. Maybe they were in a little bit of denial, like King Hezekiah. Why was John the Baptist going to take it on the chin if he had indeed pointed to the long-expected Messiah? Why do God's faithful have to dry up and fade away like the grass of the field? Why do they face death when they've seemingly been good and pious and devout, when they've even stood up to evil and wicked men, as John the Baptist had, with the truth of God's word? Wasn't this God's appointed time to make things right in the world? Jesus, aren't you taking too long and going about things in the wrong way? So the baptizer sends his men to Jesus to say, "Are you the one who is to come? Or are we in expectation of another?" Jesus gives a word of comfort back, as he gave through Isaiah to King Hezekiah. "My deeds are the works of the Father and the Son. God is at work in the world, shining forth his glory to all flesh, making all things new for the blind, the lame, the lepers, the deaf, and even the dead. The poor people of this world, withered and fallen in death's throes, have the gospel preached to them. This word of the Lord stands forever, even if all else were to fail away." So do not be offended or scandalized by the appearances of things in this transitory and dying world. Jesus is not negligent. His will is always holy and right. God works all things together for good to those who love him, even if that means suffering in prison, suffering sickness, suffering in the hospital, suffering uncertainty, even ultimately being beheaded as John was, maybe. Our Lord is gentle with us, though, even when we rebel, even when we doubt, or are impatient, or we get angry. The Lord did not give up on Israel or Hezekiah. He did not give up on John the Baptizer or his disciples. And he does not give up on you. He does not give up. All flesh is grass. Even the greatest flesh born of woman is still grass. It withers and fades before the breath of the Lord as it blows upon it. Our days are numbered, but the word of God, the comforting, hopeful, life-giving word of God, stands forever. In all our suffering, we should look to the comforting word of God, for there we find the Lord Jesus Christ, who promises to work good through our sorrows and despite our impatience. He says, "In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In me you have peace." And he says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." My strength is made perfect in weakness. St. Paul writes, "God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. He will enable you to bear it." We cannot know the truth of or be comforted by God's saving death and resurrection, his gracious forgiving of our sins by his son's sacrifice, apart from the word. King Hezekiah, ancient Israel, the prophet Isaiah, and later John the Baptist, all of them do not get to see Jesus perform miracles, nor see the grand master plan behind it all lined out for them in every single detail. They simply had the word of comfort that the Savior will come, or that he has come, to do the saving work of the Father in heaven. And they had a word that even if they were to die to this life, his saving work for them is enough. In prison, all John had is the word. Kings, prophets, apostles, the greatest of those born of women, all of you in God's kingdom, all of us must live by the word and by faith. The world, because of fear, says, you know, you could die. And God, because of sin, says, you shall surely die. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. You are like the grass and flowers of the field, destined to dry up and fall down in death. But St. Paul, because of baptism, says, you died, and your life has been hidden with Christ in God. Your life has been buried with Christ in baptism. And our Lord Jesus says, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? This is how to face the grave and its seeming finality. This is how to face injustice and martyrdom. How to face the loss of income and false accusations. How to face the betrayal of loved ones and an uncertain future. This is how to address your own impatience, fear and anger, and doubts, anxieties and sleepless nights. In every affliction, arm yourself with the word that stands forever. Look not to your own crosses and the wrongs you endure, but to the cross of Christ, who goes willingly, a lamb to the slaughter, the innocent for the guilty. There your true warfare is over, and your iniquity is pardoned. And it's enough. More than enough. Do not be afraid, friends in Christ, of being grass that withers and the flower that falls away. We do have to die to this life with our Savior in order to truly find life with him. Allow that God will teach you to number your days according to his good and gracious will. And in dying to this fleeting world, we gain a real and abundant and never-ending life with the living word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, for he stands forever because he has made the double payment for your sins that you would live with him forever. And while you have the blessing of another day from your Lord, whether it's one day, 10, 15 years, or even by reason of strength, 70 or 80 years, live with a joyful resolve, like people who have a true and living hope for today and tomorrow, the true and living hope that Christ has given you. Cast away the works of darkness. Live as children of the day. Do as the Lord says. Go and tell people what you see and hear. You who were once blind have received your eyes of faith. You who were once deaf to the word of God have been given ears to hear his voice that saves you. And you who once were under the curse of death have been given the promise and hope of everlasting life. Blessed indeed are those who are not offended by Jesus or dying to this life with him. Blessed indeed are those faithful unto death, for Jesus gives them the crown of life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.